Good morning, sisters and brothers. I want to welcome you on this seventh day of March to our wonderful and unique worship podcast for Petaluma United Methodist Church. This is the third Sunday in Lent, and we are celebrating a theme that the journey is our home. You are all welcome here. Grab a cup of coffee. You can pray with us, sing with us, or just sit back and let the beauty of this time wash over you. However you do it, know that in this community you are welcome. You are welcome, not as others expect you or demand you to be, but just as you are, for that's how God welcomes you. Let us prepare now to receive our call to worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. God calls us in this Lenten time to enter a new reality. It is one that upends the money changers' tables in the temple. It is one that tells us that true power is made perfect in weakness. As we come to worship this day, let us take one step closer to this reality in Christ Jesus. Come, let us journey together in love. Come, let us worship God together.
Call to confession. We are often overtaken by this world and its constant drive to keep us more busy than we should be. Come, let us slow down and shed the constant lure of too much to do so that we might rest in the healing Spirit of God. Come, let us pray together.
Please pray with me the prayer of confession. Holy and magnificent God, guide and companion on this journey. We pause in prayerful hope today to breathe deeply of the reality to which you call us. We slow down now in prayer so that we can release the burdens and the brokenness. We cease our constant movement now to look you in the eye and say that we are sorry. Forgive us, we pray, for the times when we have failed to follow the path of your love. Have mercy on us for judging others when you call us not to judge, but to love. Fill us, Holy One, with a newness of spirit so that we might journey with integrity and courage as we return to the path to travel with you. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
In Christ, we receive abundant and growing grace. We also receive the precious gift of forgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ, this forgiveness and renewal are yours.
The scripture reading today is from John 2, verses 13 through 22. When it was time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made out a whip of cords and drove all the temple courts, both the sheep and cattle. And he scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here! Stop turning my Father's house into a market!" His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" He answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken.
Ni sakali levi rasa rusa, na kena bunuta kena kovila tai. Ya sa kena kokonga ni kulubi kena sava umbulai. Ni sabulai, ano pakarusa nono buku, erasando buku. Kapagataya mataka nono rail mutua, erasando vial mutua. Iveno buku, iveno buniwala. Iveno ndo veleti ni buruburongo. Sa sanga baka ni pohalili ataka na buku ku ni buruburongo na kalou. Yon ni sa buku tu na kalou, ar sa sanga ni kila na kalou na kai burubura. En anon buku. Sa nga hivina kata na kalou mi pakumpula ira ar sa pangbota. En na bosa li lia. Nila sa taronga na iba ata kila kila ku erna tiu. Ar sa baka sanggara na buku ku erna kai kirisi. E che tu sapono tacchi, Cristo, ni salo bago che ne cobile tai. A caere sa tarambecchina, querne ciù. A sa calilia, virna che crisi. E virna a, er sa cadivi, sera ciù, sera che crisi, la Cristo na cocco ni clu, che ne vucu ni clu. Ni sa cavucu, ne se seo ni clu, asa wasi bibir na tamata. Asa kaukawa na mulmurum ni kalou. Ni wasi bibir na tamata. Ni dengu babaka lo tataka na kalou. Na nono bosa. Na dorong wa darawa na kaibindindai.
Second reading this morning is from Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. This ends reading.
Good morning. Our sermon title this morning is A New Reality, and our scriptures, as you have just heard, are the second chapter of John, verses 13 to 22, and 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 25. Would you be with me in a moment of prayer? God, as we gather this day to unpack the sacred text, to seek out where you might be leading us, we ask that you come and pour your Spirit out among us. Give us spirits of hearing and listening. Give us spirits of authenticity and power. And in all of it, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our common heart be acceptable to you, God. For it is you and you alone to whom we owe our allegiance. Amen. Well, you know, we raised our kids in San Francisco. What a rich time and what a great neighborhood. We lived in a neighborhood then known as the Excelsior. And on our block alone, we had families who were Chinese, Mexican, Vietnamese, Thai, Italian, Irish, Filipino, and oh yeah, us. Next door to us was this wonderful Filipino family. We had kids the same ages, and they played together. They did lemonade stands on the sidewalk and had great times running up and down the street. And one day early on when we had just moved there and I was out in the backyard, my neighbor was across the fence in his yard, and he was barbecuing oysters in the shell. Oh, my goodness. I had never seen such a thing. And did it ever smell good? Amazing. So I waved over to him, and I just said, wow, that smells great. And within minutes, his wife was knocking on our front door with a huge tray full of oysters and snacks and drinks and all kinds of things. And I'll be telling you the truth, I was just a little embarrassed. You know, I hadn't meant to imply that I wanted food. I wasn't trying to manipulate or anything. I was just in the way of my own reality. I was being neighborly. No expectations, just wanted to say hi across the fence. So I did that. But it took me a while to figure it out. Actually, I think it took 3 trays of oysters over the next few weeks. But I eventually figured out that in Filipino culture, to say something like that, that smells great, translates into, can I have some, please? And it also triggers what I have come to understand as a deeply embedded sense of hospitality in this culture, where if someone admires something you have, you simply share it. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. And as I got to know them and their ways, and they got to know me, I realized their culture was literally a different reality. You know, in my culture, someone might say something about your barbecue over the fence, but it wouldn't necessarily translate into me shipping a feast over to my neighbor. Not right, not wrong, but different, certainly different, a different reality. Now, I know that some of us are convinced that there is one reality, one way of seeing things, one way that things go down. And when it comes to science and vaccines, I have to side with that perspective. Science tells us these new vaccines work at a startlingly high rate of effectiveness. And those who don't believe in it, well, what can I say? But what I am discussing here is not so much science and medicine, but a social reality. I'm describing, I hope, our own distinct ways of being and understanding, which are not necessarily the same. They're in a different context. You know what I mean? You see where I'm trying to go here? In the reality of my Filipino neighbor, it would have been the height of rudeness to not respond to my comments with a generous hospitality. Yet, in my reality, I had no expectations. I was just trying to be nice. Different, huh? Can you ever remember experiencing different realities in your own life? I know some of us who have served in the military have experienced a different reality of life in the armed forces. Things you would do out here in civilian life might not be okay in there. You know what I'm saying? And I found this to be true in a lot of different ways. Different church communities live in different realities formed by their history and community construct. Colleges and schools have different, and even the different regions of our nation. I remember moving to Berkeley, California from New York City. And boy, did that present me with a serious change of reality. People in the Bay Area kept putting their hand on my shoulder and saying, "It's okay, Skyler. Calm down." And then after a while, I would return to New York and people wanted to know if I was on some kind of antidepressant. Why was I so calm? Different realities. Today, we see this in evidence in the scriptures that we shared. In both our scriptures, we see a new reality brought to us by Jesus. In this reality, Jesus literally turns everything upside down and he makes a start of it with the tables of the money changers in the temple. Now, you know, if we want to be fair, this was a common practice in Judaism of the day. People could come and exchange currencies and use it to purchase animals to be sacrificed on the altar. It was a practice. I'm sure it evolved over years and one that people didn't, frankly, spend a whole lot of time thinking about. It was just what they did. And then Jesus upends their tables and gets a little upset about this as he yells out, "My Father's house has become a marketplace." Wow. A different reality. A new reality, right? And then in this passage from 1 Corinthians, we have a similar introduction to a way of thinking which is new, different. In this place, Paul changes up things that are seen and understood as powerful, and he flips them over, and he proposes literally a new reality. He writes, and he asks us, "Where's the ones who are wise? Where's the scholar? Where's the debater of this age?" And he is kind of daring someone to raise their hands here, and then he launches, "Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world?" Or to put it in a slightly different way, the wisdom of our social reality, our social construct. Paul continues to point out that traditional understandings of wisdom were overturned by the foolishness of our proclamation or our preaching. For Christians now, real power no longer resides in armies or in economic systems or in any of our formerly commonly held understandings. For him, the real power is found in the cross. That is, in the self-giving act of love that God performed in Christ on the cross. Most of us would not naturally conjure up such a thing as powerful. For most of us, Peter taking the sword and slicing off the ear of that soldier in Gethsemane, that's powerful. But no, real power is found in love, in self-giving, redemptive love. And all this, friends, invites us to that new reality. It's a reality not based on performance, but upon grace and forgiveness. It's not based on earning your place, for you already have a place. It's not a reality based on force or coercion, but upon openness and vulnerability. It is a reality not based upon the commodification of everyone and everything, but upon the blossoming awareness that all things and people created by God have an innate value, a worth far beyond what they can produce or generate in revenue. Friends, for me, this is a mind-altering proposition. It calls me to walk away from understandings I have lived by for many decades. It calls me to learn a new kind of language, to practice a new kind of discipline, to offer myself without thought of cost, to pick up the cross and follow Jesus on the path of self-giving love. Now, this path calls us forward in the knowledge and into the beautiful reality that when you give yourself for others, things change. Whether it's tutoring young kids at school, setting up a food pantry for hungry folks, or helping a family get into an apartment when they lack funds and resources, or surrendering your life as Dr. King did, your gift of self literally changes things and people. In short, it is redemptive. This is the new reality to which we are called in Christ Jesus. This is the new home we build as we journey together. These are resurrection values. Friends, I invite you as we continue to travel through this season to take a look at this new reality to which Jesus calls us, and then to compare it with how we are living now, how you are living now. What is it about this new reality that scares us? What about this new reality excites and challenges us? What about the old reality are we reluctant to abandon? What about the old reality will we willingly leave behind? Indeed, for us as individuals and faith community, the question comes, if we fully step into this, what will change? What will it mean? What will we give up? What will we surrender? What baggage will we set down so that we can give all our energy, all our time and attention to healing, to hope, to communities that lift up new life? The musings that issue forth from these questions are an authentic part of our Lenten journey. They are part of this new dwelling that we build, part of God's call to us as we step into a future yet unmade. So let us take the long way round, if need be, to get where we want to go. Let us pause to smell the flowers, to have a dream, and let us open ourselves to the outpouring of God's Spirit, which comes to each and every one of us as we think, as we dream, as we live into this new reality in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you very much.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Tamaki mami melo malangi, me varoro taikine damuni, me adomaina nomuni matintu, me dagana lo mamuni burbura, me pakasa daga melo malangi. Nisile me viki mami nisingongo na kakane rutiki mami. Nimbukoda manda nineme miradala, me pakaki mami sambukoda, were sadadala viki mami. Nikaku nikotiki mami gine vere, kamuni vambuli ke mami manada, nisa nomuni na matinitu, kena kaukaua, kena langilangi, asangani mundu. Amen.
Now is the time when we come together to share in Holy Communion. I'm going to take a minute to talk about what that means, and if you want to use this space to get yourself a cup of fruit juice or a glass of wine and a piece of bread, that will help us as we get to the place of sharing this sacred meal. But I want to say that in many Christian communities, there's a whole lot of requirements for you to participate in this sacrament, but not in the United Methodist Church. For us, all people are welcome to this meal. It is a sign and a symbol of the way we open our communities in radical welcome and hospitality. So if you're not a United Methodist, that's fine. If you're not even a believer, you're welcome. We believe in the power of the Spirit to change hearts, no matter where you're sitting or what your perspective is. So know that you are welcome in the power of God's incredible love for you, which you already receive. I hope by now that everybody's been able to take a minute to get what they need for this and that you would begin to be with me in a spirit of prayer. Holy God, we come together this day with hearts full of thanksgiving. God, we cannot enumerate the bounty that you have bestowed upon us, and we could but sit here all day giving thanks for shelter, for enough food to eat, for health, for those in our families. God, we could go on until the sun set and rose again and set and rose again, rejoicing in the blessings you've bestowed upon us. But in this moment, Holy One, we pause to thank you for the precious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we give you thanks that you saw fit to come among us yourself in the person of Jesus, that you came among us and sang and danced and taught us a new way of being, a new reality, free of coercion, free of domination, a new reality rooted in self-giving love, a reality in which there is much laughter, wonder, and joy. And we give you thanks for this, Jesus. And we pause now in prayer, God, to remember, as you have asked us to, the last meal that Jesus shared with his followers, that last supper that they had together before he was to be betrayed and handed over to be arrested and finally to be tortured and executed because he committed the high crime of loving across the boundaries. God, we pause now, and in our mind's eye, we think about this table, this night where friends were gathered, followers gathered, and in the room is laughter and an undertone of fear. And in it all, they gather as community. And in the middle of that meal, Jesus paused, and he took the loaf of bread from the table, and he picked it up, and he broke the bread, and he gave thanks to you, God. And he offered the bread to his followers, saying, "Take this and eat, for this is my body, which will be broken for you." Likewise, at the close of the meal, we remember that he stopped again, and he lifted the cup up from the table, and he blessed it, and he gave thanks to you. And again, he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the cup of a new covenant. This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins for the whole of creation. Each time you do this," he said, "remember me." Lord God, here we are as the ones who remember. Here we are, gathered even in the electronic ether. We are the ones who remember, and we pray with all our hearts that this remembrance never degenerate into a shallow religious sentimentality, but that we remember your sacrifice, your gift to us of self. We remember it and allow it to transform us so that we might go forward and give ourselves for others. Pour out your spirit on this cup, this bread that each of us hold. Pour out your spirit so that as we share, we may richly share in the reality of what it means to be the body of Christ, the community gathered. Hear us, hold us as we share. We pray this in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now if you would take the piece of bread that is before you and lift it up and partake of it, knowing that you are sharing in the body of Christ, which is given freely for you. And now take the cup and please drink of the cup, knowing that this is the cup of a new covenant. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you and for the whole world for the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Lord God, we have feasted richly upon your love. And now we pray for a unity in our community. We do not pray, God, for a unity of stamped out conformity, but for a unity that delights in the fact that each one of us are created in your image. Each one of us, different as we are, bears the stamp of your holiness, your power, your wonder, and your grace. And together we are called to weave a tapestry of hope, a tapestry of love and justice, a tapestry of a community that welcomes and heals all. We give you thanks for these gifts, for this meal, for this church and this community. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we come as your community, and we all come, Lord, with our own stuff. And it is in prayer in this moment that we come to lay all of this at your feet. God, we come with anger and frustration, and we lay it down. We come with worrying over loved ones and family, and we lay down that worry at your feet. We come with despair and even some cynicism, God, thinking that what new can we possibly do that we haven't done before, and we lay that down at your feet, oh God. God, we pray as we lay everything down that keeps us from getting to you, that you open our hearts as we dump these burdens on the floor, that you open our hearts in a new kind of vulnerability, for these burdens don't come from nowhere, God. We are tired. We are overmuch worried. We are stressed out, and we ask that you allow us to release them to you, that we might be made new in your love. We ask this, we pray this, we hope this in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, friends, we've come to the time when during our worship we pause so that we might return a portion of the many blessings we have for the work of God's church. In ancient tradition, we invite people to provide 10% of their earnings to the church. This is an old biblical custom and one that we follow as a church, as the whole church at Petaluma UMC provides 1/10 of its revenue so that the great global church might build hospitals and schools and clinics and might do the wonderful work of our United Methodist Committee on Relief and beyond. And so I invite you to give generously. You can give by putting a check in an envelope and mailing it to 410 D Street in Petaluma, or you can drop that check by at the office and put it in the mail slot in the office door. You can also go onto our website at www.petalumaumc.org, and there's a button there for donate here, and you can donate online. And now, very recently, we've come to a place of donating using text messages, and there's instructions in the bulletin today for how to do that. However you give, we need you to know that it's appreciated. And we want you to know it's part of our shared responsibility, our shared accountability, and our shared joy to give what we have so that others might be healed, so that others might know joy, so that others might be fed and healed. And so I give you thanks for your generosity and for your openness.
Thank you.
God, we offer these gifts to you as a sign and symbol of a life committed to a new reality where compassion reigns and justice leads the land. And we commit ourselves as your church to using these gifts as a community in ways that will lift up and heal, in ways that will ease suffering, in ways that will undo the injustices we see everywhere. Let us dedicate these gifts to your service, your work, your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear these words of benediction. As we go now, let us dare to step into this new reality to which Christ beckons us. Let us step into a reality where tables are upended and values turned around. Let us walk together into a valley of grace and climb the mountains of healing. And let us go in the wonderful power of the Creator, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.